Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, which I cannot see because it is dark and the rain is coming down pelting. And it is a miserable day outside for those who are still fighting the traffic, which in Atlanta are millions. Today is 2 days before Thanksgiving. And I thought it would be interesting just for a minute before we get into some things to just remind people of what Thanksgiving is really about. It's not about family and friends. The original Thanksgiving, and I didn't have to Google this or anything like this. I know it. I've known it my whole life. It's deep within me. The original Thanksgiving was because the pilgrims, who were not Puritans, pilgrims, when they came to Plymouth in 1620, they didn't get their houses built well before the winter, and they were not expecting a New England winter coming from England, which is not nearly as cold as New England. That first winter, because some of the houses were not complete, more than half of them died of exposure. They barely survived. The next year, starting early and being very industrious, they planted and they built their homes, and they had such abundance when they harvested late in November after canning and taking care of everything. They said, we need a time to be thankful to Almighty God for his bounty, for his blessings, and for ensuring that we would survive in this experiment in the new world. That's a powerful message. It's lost. In textbooks, they teach kids that the pilgrims were grateful to the Indians. Nonsense. They were grateful to Almighty God. That is how far our heritage goes back to people wanting to have a powerful relationship with God. All right, that's just kind of a, let me see, Stacy, are you there? Or is this Robert?
It's me.
Hey, Robert, how are you?
It's another story of Thanksgiving, too, Jack. When they got over here, they decided, wouldn't it be kind and sweet for us to toss all of the stuff that we produce into a common basket, as it were, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And that way, nobody does without, everybody has the same, et cetera, et cetera. That didn't work out real well. They almost starved to death, right? And some people went out and worked, and then some people didn't. And then some people said, now, why are we out here busting ourselves? Mm-hmm. And those guys are back there just collecting what we're doing, right? And so that was the first form of socialism in America. And that didn't last long until the head dog said, this doesn't work very well. We got here and we wanted to be kind and sweet and, you know, and all that. But we're not going to do that. We're going to give everybody a little piece of land and let them go do their deal. And they had so much stuff come in because those who did got, and those who didn't. And then they began to go do. And so they had so much stuff, they had an abundance. And so it's sort of interesting. God taught them a lesson that there are people in America today haven't quite got a hold of, right?
Or have had in past generations and have no more.
Pretty much. So
they accentuated that first, he that does not work shall not eat.
Well, I mean, what was happening is the people who are going out and working, and this is going to happen in America again, looked around and said, I mean, this health care debacle is basically that. They're now beginning to recognize this whole plan was there were a certain number of people who didn't have health care. And so they were sort of a drag on the system, and they would go into the emergency room, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there are a bunch of people who said, that's not fair, right? And so Obama and his gang decide, well, we're going to even this out. We're going to redistribute it. So now people who have most of their lives worked their butt off so that they would have certain things, including health insurance, are now having to pay for things which they would no more use than a man in the moon, like maternity care for 80-year-olds, you know? And so and that's why this thing isn't going to work out. I don't know what the resolution of this thing is going to be, but it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And then, on top of that, Obama decides to toss Israel under the bus and to allow Iran to snooker carry, which is just amazing in itself, isn't it? You know, I mean, I know where my mind is.
That one, yeah.
And yet, if you read, there's a guy who has chronicled what happened to the United States when the United States betrayed Israel. Because we've done it a few times in the past. This is just horrific, what they just did. I mean, they gave Iran more than what Russia and China and some of the really horrific states were willing to give Iran. And that came from Kerry and Obama wanting to get something going, because it's like they can't think the next step, right? Like, you still got idiots running around saying, well, we're going to find out what this Obamacare really looks like pretty soon when the site gets fixed. The only thing that's saving them today is the site is not fixed, right? When they see how horrific this whole deal is, how long would it take them to set up a website where you just punched in your numbers and you found out what it was going to cost you and what your deductibles were going to be? Maybe not the exact policy, but very, very close. Not long. Why don't they do that? Because they don't want anybody knowing. And I don't know what they take
to happen
between now and then that's going to confuse people so they think what they've got is a good deal. But that's not what I want to talk about. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to what we want to talk. Well, before we do that, for just one second, they want to postpone a lot of this until after the midterms, in hopes of keeping the Democratic majority, because if the people see what's happening, they're going to throw out Mark Pryor, Landrieu, whoever's running in North Carolina, the North Dakota Democrat will be gone, and maybe even the Democrat in Michigan. There's going to be some wholesale changes, and then Obama's time of tyranny will be at an end, because he will have a formidable Congress that is wholeheartedly against him. But anyway, all right, go ahead. Let's do what we're commissioned by the Lord to do. But I've enjoyed this part of it at any rate. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, I want to talk about three instances that happened in a person's life when she was in England, all right? Because they're sort of an interesting deal. She was had gone through a very difficult time, had a horrific upbringing. She was in England with a friend of mine, Rujan, and God was teaching her stuff. And the important part of what I'm saying is that sometimes we think of people and we go, well, they're just not going to make it because they have such a bad thing going that who's going to tell them anything? Well, God can get through that, right, as we will see. She had gotten over to England, and she was out in the courtyard, and it was cold, right? And she was walking around, and God said to her, "Are you a child of mine?" And she said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, get up and start acting like it," right? That was the first encounter she had with God, as he recognized, in other words, sometimes we don't recognize when God's talking to us, but we need to begin to, because she knew who that was talking to her. It began her on a road. Howbeit, it's not one that's completed quite yet, but she was on a road. Then it was an area where they had sort of dilapidated buildings in the area, and they had a chapel that had a lot of wear and tear on it, so to speak. So she was sitting in this chapel, and she was looking out a door that had a part of that door was like a window. And then on the other side of the chapel was a little window, right? So God says, "I want you to look and see what you see." And she looked out one deal, and she said, "Well, this looks like a garbage pit, all right? There's just trash and mayhem and chaos, and just nothing there that's pretty. I mean, it's just a bunch of ugly-looking stuff." I said, "Okay. Now look out the other side." And she said, "Oh, there are flowers and beautiful plants and all." And he said, "Well, see, it's a matter of perspective. And our lives are the same way, all right? When we focus on the wrong part of our life, the sad part, I know Stacy's not on yet, but Stacy got the privilege of finding out what it means when someone steals your phone, all right?
Well, that's a tough one. It's not as tough as having someone steal your identity. I had that one last year, but, you know, c'est la vie.
Did they turn it back in and say, "I want another one"?
They certainly should have said they are. Oh, my gosh, you have it back.
I don't want this thing.
That's one of the funniest things you have ever said.
She had one of those apps on her phone where you could go, it would actually show you the GPS where these people were. And she could watch them walking down the streets, and she knew where they were. And of course, the cops were saying, "Well, we don't want to get out. We don't want to go out there in that weather. And anyway, you can't trust those GPSs anyway." I mean, they knew where this person was. So anyway, I figure I'll text this person. All right? This is a confession. It's going to be good for my soul. So I text this person. I said, "I know who you are." End of text. And then they moved from where they were. That's beside the point. Anyhow, so this person was over in England, and she learned that life was a matter of perspective. And the problem is, often what we do is we take what we see right now and think that's all there is ever going to be. All right? This is just it. And God's saying, no, that's not it at all. All right? Where do I fit into that scene? All right? And so the first time God told her, he said, "If you're a child of mine, get up and start acting like it," right?
Peter, so we've lost Robert. So we'll just go on. He had this, he'll be back with us in a minute. Let me just explain to you real quick what we were laughing about. 2 years ago, it's close to 2 years now, someone from someone stole my identity, and they did it through Facebook. Went in, I had problems with the bank, with checks, with everything, and getting that resolved was a mess. But Robert's comment was because the guy, I suppose, had hoped that I was very wealthy, but I certainly was not, and it was something that just like, well, he got you, Jeff. He would have been better off getting someone else, and that was actually quite funny. Now, when it comes to people being in right relationship with the Lord and not knowing who they are in Christ, that's the biggest problem that people have. They have issues with fortresses in their lives which they consider to be unassailable, and those fortresses keep them from believing God's truth. A lot of them come from family of origin issues, and it makes it just absolutely very difficult for some people to ever believe that they're worthwhile, that God loves them. Their own fathers didn't love them, or they weren't there. They abandoned them. So isn't that what God does? He abandons us as well. Well, even if people don't know that, if they realize that that isn't true intellectually, it's difficult for them to pull that into the core of who they are and be who they're supposed to be. That makes it a very, very, very difficult situation. Now, since Robert hasn't come back, and we are going to just take a break, and I'm going to end this particular episode, and we will talk to you next week. Have an absolutely magnificent Thanksgiving.